Welcome to Strong Tower Radio Today. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily reflect the views of Strong Tower Radio, West Central Michigan Media Ministries, or its employees.
Hello, folks, and welcome to Strong Tower Radio Today. I'm your host, Tom Majeur, with John Duman, and this is the theme edition. It's the monthly theme, and we're talking about March. Welcome, John.
Thanks, Tom. It's good to be here.
This month is a big month. It's one of the big four. We're having the resurrection programming. Some people call it Easter. Our guest today, who wrote the theme article on the gift of tongues, he brought up an interesting perspective, John.
Yes, he did.
Yes.
We were asking him about whether or not it was proper to talk about this period of time that we're dealing with in terms of calling it Easter. And he said, only in a few spots is that called Easter, and everywhere else in the world, it's some derivation of Passover.
So let's have him explain it.
Yes,
as he does best. So, Pastor Mavio, explain how the rest of the world describes the Passover, Easter, Resurrection weekend.
Easter is a denomination that only shows in English and in some German countries, but most throughout the world, throughout Europe, both on the Latin-dominated part of Europe or on the Slavic side of Europe, the word used is a derivation of Passover. So they make the distinction by saying like the Christian Passover or the Jewish Passover.
Right.
So, and in English, because of some of the Germanic influence, we use Easter.
Wow.
Interesting.
Yeah, and remember, listeners, you heard it here first on Strong Tower Radio, you know, breaking information that you find no place else. Well, John, why don't I start it off with a word of prayer, and then we'll talk about Pastor Mabio's article that is continuing from the February edition, talking about the gifts of the Spirit and particularly the gifts of tongue.
Let's do.
Our Father in heaven, we just want to thank you, and we just give all our praise to you. If we understand who you are, we will love you deeply and serve you out of appreciation because what you've done that is brought out in the month of when we celebrate the Passion, the Christian Passover. Lord, bless us in our discussion with all the topics we talk about today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
John, introduce the subject, the lead article. You're the editor. And so share where we're going from last month to this month.
Well, it was suggested to us that we might want to focus on the gifts of the Spirit. And we called around, and Pastor Mavio jumped right in and said he wanted to talk about the gift of tongues. And last month, for those of you that read the article, it talked about the lead-in, the prelude kind of to the gifts in general. And now we're going to get into the meat of the article. And Pastor Mabio knows it best. He has written a very, very well-written article. And in some cases, it might be a little too collegiate for some of us.
But I tell you what, as I read this article, John, I think that a person who honestly looks at this article should put this issue, the controversy of glossolalia, to rest. The correct use, the biblical use of the gift of tongues. Let's turn it over to Pastor Mabio. Let our listeners hear this explanation that you put so well in the lead article of the March ministry news that you can get by going getting a subscription. We'll mail it to you every month, or to go online at str.fm on our newsletter, the Ministry News. Pastor Mabio.
Alrighty. So, in the way the article was written, I start from the beginning. When the gift of tongues is manifested in Scripture, in Pentecost. So, and if you read the story carefully, what happened there? People speak, and they are seen as speaking in the language of almost two dozen nationalities that were all present in Jerusalem. And they are all amazed because those men that were known to be illiterate, they were speaking, or at least they are being heard in the languages of the different hearers of different nationalities. So that's like the fundamental event about the gift of tongues in Scripture. And why that characterization is important? Because in there, what was the objective? The objective was at the end of the day, 3,000 were baptized. Why? Because people could understand them, not in a language that they didn't have mastery over, that probably was either Greek or Aramaic, that was the lingua franca at the area. But they heard in their own mother tongue, on their heart language. So that had a more powerful impact. And God, knowing that through the Holy Spirit, He allowed the gift of tongues to fulfill that function. If you remember the first part of the article, we analyzed that one of the main functions of the gift of any gift of Spirit on Scripture is the edification of the church, so people can grow in faith, and also to communicate the love of God to others efficiently. And both functions were fulfilled on that first event, that was the Pentecost.
So what I hear you saying is that clear communication that is understood, and as you, I quote the article, recognized understandable language, that is the definition of the gift of tongues.
Yeah, otherwise, like using Paul's one, using Paul's own words in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 14, as I also mentioned, put the line on the article. If you speak in a language that nobody understands, you may be, even be speaking in the language of angels, but that means nothing for the edification of the church, and that does not contribute to bring anybody closer to Jesus, because no message is being communicated. And Paul says in chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians that even can backfire, because the people looking this from the outside, that are not from our faith, they are not Christians, they're going to say, those guys are crazy. So that's why he admonishes, like, let's just one person speak at a time. And if he's speaking in tongues, we must have somebody that understand this. Otherwise, that's useless. And the implication is, if nobody understands it, does not come from God. And that's why the Pentecost is so important, because lays the foundation. There was not a glossolalia. It was like a language that nobody understood. But they spoke, and hundreds of people heard in dozens of different languages. That's the true gift of tongues.
There was, in your article, you delineate that there was three authentic recordings of speaking of tongues. Some people might even call it hearing in tongues, that you understand what is being said, even though the person may have spoken in a single language. It's heard in multiple, up, like you alluded, maybe up to a dozen languages it was perceived in.
Yeah, scripture mentions only four manifestations of the gift of tongues. Three explicitly by telling the stories, and all the three are in the book of Acts. I mentioned the article, and we analyze all the three. And they all, we have that impression that like the person spoke and was heard in different tongues. And the fourth story is like the one in Corinthians, that we actually don't hear the story in itself. We hear just Paul reacting to it, telling what's happening, people speaking in language that nobody understood. And then we hear that he says, like, guys, that's no good. I rather you don't do that. And but going back to the tree, why I say that sometimes we have the impression, because I don't think that's actually true. I actually changed my mind when it happened with me. Can I share a story?
Sure, please do.
Before I became a pastor, I was a church elder. I work in finance. And I was on vacation in California with my family. My kids were around 8 years old, my oldest. And we were going in a museum, like looking different types of art and whatever. Then I heard somebody speaking Portuguese, and they were talking like some real foolishness about God, and apparently like two persons are not Christians, and one was, and I saw that the Christian was getting beat up. I could not help myself. I jump into the conversation to rescue the brother. And at the end, like everybody finished on the same page. And once the conversation was done, we part ways. My wife, like, what language were you speaking? Like, they were speaking in Romanian. I didn't speak Romanian at the time. And I even didn't realize I was speaking Romanian. For me, I was speaking Portuguese, and I heard in Portuguese. So that's the true gift of tongues.
It's interesting, Paul's denunciation of the nonsensical, as you wrote, and wasteful nature of glossa solalia. Paul just doesn't give it the time of day, does he?
No. He's very stern. Like he make no uncertain words. But that type of stuff should have no place on our churches. He says, let me quote the Bible just a little bit. I'm reading from 1 Corinthians 14, starting verse 6 from the New King James. But now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you unless I speak to you either by revelation, by knowledge, by prophesying, or by teaching? Even things without life, whatever flute or harp, when they make sound, unless they make distinction in the sounds, how it will be known that a pipe is played? And then he keeps giving other examples of like how just making a sound is not good. And in verse 11, he says, therefore, if I do not know the meaning of the language, I shall be a foreigner to him who speaks, and he who speaks will be a foreigner to me. Even so, you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. Therefore, let him who speaks in tongues pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is this conclusion then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will also pray with understanding. I will sing with the spirit, and I will also sing with understanding. Otherwise, if you bless the spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen at your giving of thanks, since he doesn't understand what you say? So you got Paul's point, like, what foolishness is that? If you don't speak and nobody understands, that's useless, even to you.
Amen, amen. So what do you say to our listeners may have friends who value the topic or the behavior, the situation of glossolalia, and how do they talk with their friends and help them to understand the biblical perspective that Paul puts forth?
Well, I think the best advice is follow scripture. Show to them first for what we have spiritual gifts. Show them that the spiritual gifts are to be for the edification of the church, so people can grow. They are not done at random just because God wants to distribute. The Bible says that he gives each gift to who he wants, so he doesn't give to all the same gifts, but when he gives you a gift, it's for the edification of the church. So once you know that, then you can understand Paul's counsel better. Because what was his point? People back then in Corinth, they were using the same type of mentality that we see in some churches today, like, if you don't speak in tongues, you're not a true Christian. And that's contrary with the Bible in several accounts. The first account is that the Bible says explicitly that not all people have the same gift. The gifts are different, and Paul makes that analogy of different body parts. Not everything is a hand, not everything is feet, not everything is nose. We have different body parts, and thank God for that. So that's the first understanding. And the second level, where that's contrary to scripture, according to Paul and to the rest of scripture, is that if the manifestation of tongues is biblical, you have to speak, and somebody must be on the audience that could understand, but that would not understand otherwise. God is not on the business of being an entertainer. Like, he doesn't do miracles because to make you look good. God does miracles to bridge a gap, to make a bridge that you could not make on your own. Like my experience in LA, that I was speaking in Romania not knowing the language. And not even being aware that I was speaking, by the way. Mm-hmm. And the same thing Paul argues in chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians. But the true gift of tongues needs to be understood by other people that otherwise would not be able to follow the message and be blessed and grow with it. Once you understand those things from the Bible, then leave your friend to make their own choices. And if they are true to the Bible, they're going to get out from where they are. If they are true to the Bible, they're going to stop with those practices.
Pastor, thank you so much for that clear guidance, I think I'll be able to speak more carefully and more eloquently with people on the subject that not everybody has the same gift, number one, and so don't expect everybody to have it, and number two, that it must be understood. Well, thank you so much for writing this lead article, and God bless you in your ministry. You're at the Midland and also at the Mount Pleasant Church. God bless and thank you for your article.
Thank you for the opportunity, and may God bless you all.
God bless. Bye now.
When you're taking a trip, it's important to stay on the right road and to follow the GPS or roadmap to be sure that you get to your destination. Likewise, on your trip to heaven, it is vital to follow the roadmap, the Bible, God's positioning system. To do that, stay with Strong Tower Radio as we uplift the Bible and proclaim God's character. If you'd like to help with this mission, go to our secure website, www.strongtowerradio.org, and click on the donate button, or call 231-468-2087. We thank you, and may God bless you as we proclaim God's character together.
We're back. Hey, John, do you know what a Pathfinder is?
I do. I was one.
Okay. Well, our next guest is a Pathfinder leader. That must be really, really important.
Yep. I've never been one of those.
Okay. Well, we're going to talk to one. So our guest is Elise Green. She's the Pathfinder director for the Bethel Seventh-day Adventist Pathfinder Club in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Welcome to our program, Elise.
Thank you so much for having me.
Hey, what is a Pathfinder?
Okay, a Pathfinder is, I think, the coolest thing in the world. It's the perfect combination between church and Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts. It's a multi-generational, so 10 to 16 club, and we get to learn about Jesus and to do fun things like camping, cooking, and pizza making, while also serving your community through community service and outreach and volunteering.
You said multi-generational, and I was thinking of your dad when you said that multiple generations have been Pathfinders, from father to daughter and so on and so forth.
Yeah. Pathfinders is a great way for older adults to learn, well, to share what they've learned with the young kids. Like my dad, you know, he used to teach rockets. He taught me how to tie knots and got me into camping, and he did it till he wasn't able to anymore.
Tell us, are you the only Pathfinder club at the Bethel Grand Rapids Seventh-day Adventist Church in the whole wide world?
No, there are several clubs. I know right here in Grand Rapids you have maybe 10, and around the world there are a lot of clubs, because you know, Pathfinders is not just a Michigan Grand Rapids thing. It's a worldwide part of the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Well, talk about worldwide. What does Gillette have to do with razor blades? I mean, with Pathfinders?
Yes, Gillette is known as a razor, but in August, from August 5 through 11 of this year, Gillette, Wyoming is the host of the Pathfinder International Camporee.
What, you know, it happens once every 5 years, and a few of the kids get to go twice during their Pathfinder, during that 10 to 16 years. I've heard Pathfinders talk about Gillette with awe. What is the awe factor of a worldwide Pathfinder camporee?
Okay, the wow factor, or the awe factor, is the fact you get to meet people from around the world. I met someone from Korea the last time I went. I also met someone from Australia, you get to meet people from the world. There will be more over 100 countries there this year, with over 55,000 people all camping together, worshiping God, having fun in Gillette, Wyoming.
And the word, I could describe it, I've watched it on the internet and TV. They broadcast the evening play event. There is the word I describe of, you have tens of thousands of 10 to 16 year olds with all their leaders and supportive parents and adults. They're just, you could cut the air, as they say. It's just, they're just geeked. Explain that. Somehow bring Gillette, Oshkosh, worldwide camperies to our listeners, the excitement and exuberance of having 50,000 young people together.
The best way I can describe it is a taste of heaven on earth. When you have all these kids, they're excited about Jesus, singing the Pathfinder song together, or the hymn of the day, and just in their languages, in the excitement of Jesus, and then especially when the appeal is made and they're wanting to give their hearts to Jesus, it's unbelievable. It's just like the Holy Spirit and God are just sitting there with us, ministering and worshiping with us as Pathfinders. It's one of those things that you want to go to. Like, if you can attend Gillette this year.
You know, as I've watched Pathfinders, John has been a Pathfinder. I have been a Pathfinder. I guess once a Pathfinder, always a Pathfinder. But I have seen, the club was great when in my youth, but there's something about the spiritual tone, the spiritual formation, the direction and purpose I have seen in Pathfinders over the last 10, 20 years, 30 years. You get to, and Gillette, Wyoming, the worldwide camperee is the distillation, a positive distillation of having tens of thousands of young people with a good purpose, and it just becomes better.
I know for like my first one, that was where I renewed my commitment to serve Jesus the rest of my life.
Amen. Well, boy, it doesn't get much better than that. And you're having fun at the same time, the affirming youth, each other. You do act, what are the activities? You touched on some of those, but in Boy Scouts, I think Girl Scouts, they have badges or such. There's a similar thing that young people can do at this worldwide camperee that they may not get at their local club because of the wide variety of skills and talents, or you never could do some of those things at a local Pathfinder club.
Yeah, and Gillette, you have the exposure to do so many different honors. There are honors that come from Africa, like African hair braiding, or you can learn how to do make pizza with the Italians. There's just so many different honors. But if you're not into honors, there's activities. This year they're doing an Olympics. So you get to play cheerful and easy competition between your peers. And you can go play softball, soccer. You can ride horses. It's just, there's so many activities. Go swimming.
You know, I was talking with, I think, one of the worldwide directors, Pastor Ron Whitehead.
Mm-hmm.
And he was telling me that the big event at night is the play, the biblical play. And they were able to incorporate in the biblical play. What is the theme this year? Do you recall what that is?
The theme this year is Believe the Promise. We're learning about Moses this year.
Oh, yes, yes. Moses, and he said something to do with the water and such. They've incorporated that water, or maybe the swimming thing, into the stage. And so it has a dual purpose.
Tom, are you giving away things that people don't know?
Oh, I'm sorry. I have credible sources.
We may have to only to those people that listen to this channel.
Hopefully they're only adults that listen to this channel. Don't let your hair kids hear this particular edition. They can listen to all the other, but not today's edition of Strong Tower Radio Today. But that, and then the program is, they've had one on Esther, I believe on Daniel, a number of biblical characters brought to life in a winsome, wonderful way. And like you say, appeals for young people to give their hearts, and like you, a lifetime commitment to Jesus. Is this event free?
No, it is not. It costs clubs money to get there, and especially for our club. Our club is a community-based club, so we have a lot of community kids that have joined our club. It costs us money. It's charging. Well, we're budgeting, I should say, $800 per kid without the ticket. So that's including transportation, food for the whole week, getting our tents there, buying new tents if we need to get every Pathfinder to Gillette.
That is a serious commitment. How many Pathfinders do you have with your club?
We have 7 Pathfinders.
Well, praise the Lord. Well, 7 times 8 plus the tickets. I don't recall what the tickets cost. Do you?
I believe the tickets are $125 or $225. It's been a minute since we bought them, and sadly, they sold out.
And you have to do it. They're very much in demand, is what I hear, and so that's why it's been so far away. It's not on the top of the register, but almost $1,000 per student. You mentioned that you have a community-based program. Explain that, and who are the young people in your community?
Yeah, so our church mission is to serve the community around our church, and most of the kids who are attending or part of our club are from the community. Either their parents have just started coming to the church, or their parents do not, but they've joined the club, and they don't have the traditional Adventist background. They are somewhat new to the faith, so we're teaching them Jesus and also teaching them all the Pathfinder stuff at the same time.
So you're teaching them values, and do you come from a well-to-do neighborhood where everybody can pay their own way?
No, our kids, you know, coming from community, our kids can't. A lot of parents have told me, you know, we want our kids to go, but we can't afford it. So as a club, we are working together to raise the money so that everyone can come and they don't have to pay anything out of pocket.
And your church is in an inner city neighborhood, and so you're ministering to them, and you want them to go, and Strong Tower Radio is supporting you in your effort to help these kids make it to camp, not just to a local camp, but to this worldwide camp in Gillette, Wyoming. So how do you do that? How do you afford this, $6,000 to take these young people to this worldwide campery in Gillette, Wyoming?
That's a great question. Well, first, to get my whole club there is going to cost us $25,000.
Takes my breath away.
Yeah, it's a lot of money. But we have partnered with different an organization called Funds to Orgs, and we're collecting shoes. I don't know if you know this, Tom, but every year, 600 million pairs of shoes are thrown away.
Wow.
And our goal is to collect those shoes, and then through our partner organization, they'll be given to third world countries or areas that have been hit by natural disasters. so that people can have shoes to wear.
You know, that is very interesting when you say shoes. And, you know, you like to have them to be in good condition, of course, lightly used. But how many of us have, listeners, how many of us have shoes in our closet that have been worn just a few times? You hardly even can tell they've been worn. And, you know, there are a couple pairs. You know, John, I've bought more pairs of brown tan shoes than I can count of. And you know how often I wear them?
Once a week.
Never. I don't know why it is. I always like them in the store. But when I get home, it's like, not today. You know, you get up in the morning. This isn't a brown day. What does it go with? Nothing. So we have shoes. In fact, my camper is a treasure trove of used shoes. It's like they aren't worn out, but it's time to move them on. So they go to the camper so I can go to camp meeting. You know, you have church meetings, and they inevitably have rain at least one or two of the days we go to church, and you want to be dressed up, and you don't want to get your best shoes all messed up. So my camper is burgeoning, as the word is, with used shoes. So, you know, I think everybody has used shoes in their closet that they need to pass on, and this is the best place to send kids to camp.
So you heard it here, Elise. You need to get a hold of Tom, come up and clear out his trailer.
That's right.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
Well, I'll leave it unlocked for you the next time you pass through.
Oh, yeah. We'll see how many other trailers we can have unlocked so we can collect our shoes.
It's too bad we're not at camp meeting where we just go from camper to camper. We would have surpassed our goal at camp meeting. Hey, Lisa, I assume you have a few deadlines with this. I mean, you do have to go to camp and you have to pass those shoes along. How does it work?
Yeah, so we have until the end of March where we're collecting shoes. Right now, we're a little past a third of the way of our goal of 160 bags filled with 25 pairs of shoes per bag. And we have some dates coming up where we're encouraging community to come drop off their shoes so that we can bag them up and have them ready for when the truck comes.
Yes, and we want to make sure you make that goal. So we'll need to know where to drop them off and at what times. And you have a couple different times to do that. We put that, it's actually, we have a community service, public service announcement in any church with a Christ-friendly, family-friendly event can submit those to Strong Tower Radio. And so you can go on our website to do that. And you have done that. And your public service announcement is playing on Strong Tower Radio. So if you missed that, you can go on Strong Tower Radio. You can listen to it, or you can look at our Facebook page, our community calendar, and it's posted there. But give our auditory listeners the address and the dates to drop off your lightly used or new shoes you've never used for the kids to go to camp.
Yeah, so if you want to drop off your shoes, please bring them over to the Bethel Seventh-day Adventist Church. Our address is 1024 Adams Street, Southeast, Grand Rapids, Michigan, 49507. And you can come and drop them off any Sabbath while we're having service. We're there from 10 until 12:30. Or you can join us on March 3, 10 or 17 from 11 to 3. The club will be there at the church, and you can come by, drop them off, meet the Pathfinders, and see who you are supporting to get to Gillette.
I totally agree. That's a great idea to see these young people that you are sending to Gillette, International Camperee. Adams Street, 1024. What is that major intersections? It's just between a couple of them, so it helped them. Is it Southeast Grand Rapids?
Yeah, Southeast Grand Rapids. So we're not that far from Hall and Eastern. We're also not that far from Kalamazoo and Hall, so the church is kind of in that area, or Kalamazoo and Burton, or Burton and Eastern.
And particularly if you live in that part, you know, Grand Rapids, those are major streets. Eastern and Hall and Kalamazoo and Burton are all areas that will help you hone in. But look for the Bethel Seventh-day Adventist Church and drop off those shoes on Sabbath, Saturday, from 10 to 12:30. You can just go walk up into the lobby. I learned that from the public service announcement, Elise. And on Sundays, 3rd, 10th?
Sundays, March 3rd, 10, 17. We'll be there from 11 a.m. to 3. So the 3rd Sunday, March 3, March 10th, and March 17th.
Thank you very much, Elise. I could sing you the Pathfinder song, but maybe next time.
And hey, we're the Pathfinder strong, and the servants to God are we.
Amen. God bless, and we'll see you in Gillette on the internet.
Awesome.
God bless. Bye now.
Bye.
We'll be right back, and we're going to talk about what's happening with the Resurrection programming here on Strong Tower Radio. We're going to do something different this year. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hi, folks. Jelaine Fenner here. We are definitely living in uncertain times, and for some of us, it's scary. Signs of the times are everywhere. Jesus is coming back soon. Read Revelation chapter 22. Jesus says, "Surely I am coming quickly." We at Strong Tower Radio have a free book for you called The Great Controversy. Go to the back of the book and read chapters 35 to 42. It'll help you understand the times we're living in and what's ahead. This book even has 800 historical quotes and 1,200 Bible quotes. I love this book. Call Strong Tower Radio today, 231-468-2087, and ask for The Great Controversy while supplies last. And if we don't answer, please leave a message asking for The Great Controversy with your name, address, and phone number. That's 231-468-2087 on Strong Tower Radio, where God's character is proclaimed.
John, we're back. I thoroughly enjoyed those first two interviews.
Yeah, they were very, very interesting. Pastor Malbio has a really deep understanding of the gifts of the Spirit, and especially the tongues, and the stories he can tell you about those were really amazing that we didn't get to hear on air.
And you know, he gave me talking points about the glossolalia, that talking without people understanding, and how Paul spoke so clearly about you must understand it. To do anything else it causes confusion.
Absolutely.
And he mentioned the fact that two points when you're talking with somebody about the subject. One is there are a diversity of gifts.
Mm-hmm.
And to say that everybody must have this gift of tongues is a twisting of scriptures.
Sure.
Out of context. And the second thing that he said it's that it must increase understanding and be a benefit to the church, not a demonstration as such. But the other thing that he talked about is he shared with us that the term Easter is a Germanic English name for the season that we call Easter. He said there was two definitions, the Jewish Passover and the Christian Passover.
As they're called around the rest of the world, yeah.
Absolutely. We'll need to come back to that because we're going to be talking, we call it here at Strong Tower Radio, focusing on the resurrection and the service that God is doing for us right now in heaven, the investigative judgment, and that's in Hebrews. If you have any questions about that, where is that coming from? You need to read Hebrews. You need to read the Bible. But we also, our second guest, talked about the Pathfinder Club and that wonderful event that's coming mm-hmm. up, and how we, as a Strong Tower listeners, can help support this club of inner city youth make it to a worldwide event?
Almost makes me want to become a Pathfinder so I can go. Almost.
Almost.
The 55,000 kids, that's... Now, if I were, you know, in that age range, it might be more interesting, but yeah, that's a lot of kids.
Well, it is, but a wonderful event. In this last segment, we look forward. We call this the theme month. It tells us with theme is to talk about the gifts of tongue, but also this is one of the big four, as I call it. This is the resurrection with the Reformation, with Thanksgiving, and with Christmas. And we're doing it a little different this year. We are thinking outside the box. We're going a little counterculture. It's not always bad to be counterculture.
No.
I mean, if you turn to every channel, you'll find something else. Christian radio stations will largely be playing their typical music or whatever. We really go way out to focus on the death, the meaning of that death for our sins, and the resurrection that we have life and we can have it eternally. But this year, we're doing all of what we normally do. We're just packaging it a little different and seeing what will happen. And we are going to play the scriptures. Really, we're Bible-based through and through. We need to not only hear the scriptures, we need to apply it to our lives. Mm-hmm. And we had such a powerful response of people saying, just hearing, and the people who do it, we've got permission to air this, and it is different actors, some of the best voice actors at the time of the recording in the world, a great variety. It's almost like the who's of voice talent.
Mm-hmm.
They do it with intonation and expression. And, you know, John, I have not been able to listen to the 78 hours continuously without sleeping.
I was going to say, that's the one drawback.
Yes, but it's just kind of interesting. It gives you context that you go away and you come back and say, oh, we made it through that section. I didn't know it was so short or that that duration. We got so much positive by going, stepping out and having a marathon. You know, they have marathons of everything.
Yep.
We have a marathon. It was a very positive experience. We are so Bible-based. So what we're doing is the best of both worlds. What we're doing is we're taking the 8 days that changed the world, the resurrection then and now. Instead of repeating some of our programs, we're playing it just once. We're front-loading it. It's literally 3 weeks of resurrection. 3 weeks of resurrection, starting with March 11th. And we'll tell you more about that. And then we do the classical ones. We play the Strong Tower Radio Variety Hours, the Easter versions, and we have the dramatization that's done of that Passion Week it's been a standard bearer of our Easter programming. And we have sermons, fresh manna sermons all month long. But it's just, we're waiting to hear the results from our audience. They're going to be blessed.
That's what we're praying happens.
And folks, you can be part of that blessing, because if you know, there's listeners who scan the dial and hear that wonderfully different sound, playing a different tune, a different, hearing the scripture. How many people, when they scan the scriptures, actually can hear scripture? There aren't too many channels out there.
No.
And this is going to be full time. But listeners, you can point people to SDR.FM. That's the internet based. Some people listen at home. They use their desktop computers, play it 24 hours a day around the world. Literally 80 countries of the world listen to Strong Tower Radio.
Praise the Lord.
All 50 states listen to Strong Tower Radio.
Praise the Lord.
And you can also encourage them with if you've got a phone, you've got Strong Tower Radio on the Apple or Android apps. Encourage them to listen to the local stations, the 15 stations, 14 in Michigan, one in Illinois, and growing to 23. That's one way to do it. But, John, talk about the 8 days that changed the world.
Well, when we were talking in between, you asked the question, can you imagine what that 8 days was like? And honestly, no. We grow up in a culture where there's apathy towards religion. So, you know, and when you think about
it's synthesized in the Christian world, the quote unquote Christian world, to Christmas Eve and Easter morning.
Absolutely. And then if you throw in Super Bowl weekend, that just kind of rounds it out.
I think that's right? The wrong subject, John.
No, but what I'm saying is that's where we are.
Yeah, we are,
so
unfortunately.
When you consider those things and the fact that back then these feasts were a major draw. They were built, created by God to draw the eyes, the ears, the heart. How can we even imagine that if we're so cold to anything?
Yes.
You know, God driven.
And I think in some ways that's what this resurrection programming, 3 weeks of resurrection programming, we start out and build up with two warm-up weeks at the sixes, mm-hmm. 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. And people will start building and we're told that in the Psalms, the people actually, they were called the Psalms of Ascension. It's in the hundreds range. They would actually sing these. You're saying, imagine, how many times have you sang your way to church? Yeah. Well, we really should be singing our
Absolutely.
Way to church. But these people, as they walked, and then they were on their donkeys, horses, camels, whatever, they're singing, and they're singing antiphonal. You guys on that side of the road, you sing the one part, and you guys on the other, and you sing it back. I mean,
those in the fast lane.
Yeah, sorry. And as you come closer near the hills, I think that God was a scriptwriter, and he had literally, talk about screenplays, it was the best of the best. Yeah. The temple, the whole thing, the sanctuary and the services was all to turn their eyes to Jesus and the salvation that we have, and that this sinful, painful world is a temporary condition. We're going to heaven to spend eternity with God, and our sins will be forgiven. That's what the play was. The plot of every ceremony, and they had, what, they have six of them a year?
At least, yes.
And that was what it was all about. So we're leading that up there. We're starting out March 11th, weekdays, on the sixes, 6 a.m., 6 p.m., the resurrection then and now. What it was then, and what does it mean to us today? With Pastor Jay and other of the staff, it's a classic. So we're playing that. That's part of the warm-up. And then the 8 days that changed the world. I have a hard time deciding which one of those two I like the best. The 8 days of the world is you are there on this day. And it goes from Palm Sunday, which is the Sunday before Easter, the Sunday before resurrection, every day. We know this. Pastor Jay synthesized the scripture, says we know this on this day. This is where Christ is. This is the day that he cursed the tree. And the next day they walk by and it's dead. And the disciples say, wow. You say, what was it like to be there? That's what Pastor Jay does for us. And then the 4 days of resurrection programming starting on Thursday at midnight, then we'll take all the rest of those classic programs, the variety hours that with the dramatization Joy and others, actually Jelaine and others did, in between JB and did that, and the dramatization, it really puts you are there, all the other programs, and then we start at 6 o'clock, the 78 hours of continuous Strong Tower Radio resurrection programming, a reading of the scriptures by these authors. It's just a powerful thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, that's not the only thing we're doing all month, although it is a huge, huge
that's
thing.
It's a lot of the month.
It's a lot of month. Talk about programs that we produce here that you hear nowhere else unless it's rebroadcast on Audioverse or other programs. We're actually, Strong Tower Radio is becoming a source of programming for other radio stations around the world. And I'll just tell you what, it's summer camp, John. It's time to think about summer camp. you got to send the grandkids off to summer camp. We're going to have an interview with three camp directors that are coming up. One brand new one who's coming on board. He's got experience at Camp Asabo. Then Craig Morgan, he is at both of those. He does the Camp Segola in the Upper Peninsula. And then we have Eric Baldwin with Camp Wagner. We're doing that interview. The Garden Guy, we're going to talk about maple sap and syruping and much, much more. And then one we recorded last Labor Day, just in early September, we went to the Escanaba Food Pantry. They do it big and they do it right. You're going to have a full day from the day that they picked up the food in the back room of Walmart and Aldi's to the sorting and all the infrastructure, and then meeting some of the clients to get it. It's just a wonderful program that's coming up. Another program that's coming up is, I'm looking forward to, we're starting the school visits program, second season. We'll be airing that. A Kids in the Garden, I recorded that a year ago, and it's time. It's acquainting agriculture with Melissa Kate Clayton. She helped write this book. It's really to, if you want to get your kids in the garden, spiritual lessons, practical lessons, how do you do a garden, and lessons to be learned. It's a powerful interview. And then immediately following that is 100 years. We're going to start a series of 100 years of Arthur Weaver. He's a physician. He was in World War II on a ship. The guy has... He was only 99 when we interviewed him. He's now 100 years old, John, and it's an interview that we did. Took three half hours to interview him. You'll enjoy that program. Two other things that are really exciting. Your Story Hour, one of my favorite kids animals. I mean, we're going to have a debate here because some people like debate between Discovery Mountain and Your Story Hour. But Your Story Hour, 75 years of ministering to young people and their families, and I never tire of listening to Your Story Hour. We're going to have an interview with Uncle John and Aunt Nikki. I'm sure you're excited about this one, John.
Yes, I am.
And so we're going to do that big. And then Solar Eclipse, it's growing in the middle of the country, down there by Dayton and somewhere coming through Texas and such. A great solar eclipse. We have an interview with a guy who's one of the great telescope guy, 86 years old. He was inspired for another man, and he's just passing it on from generation to generation. Fun interview. We're going to do one with the Amen Clinic. We're also do with Jesus Healing and the Gospel and Me with Dr. Youngberg and Tim Ritzenberg and many others. Just stay tuned, folks. It's going to be a fun month, the month of March, here on Strong Tower Radio. John, it's always a pleasure. I look forward to the first week of the month for the theme month. Thank you for joining us again, and thank you for your service on the Ministry News, Strong Tower Radio Ministry News.
You're welcome. And by the way, folks, don't forget, we are still looking for an office manager. Please contact us if you are available and you are wanting to help us out.
God bless. And until next week, continue listening. You have 164 hours to listen. Take care. Bye now.
Bye.